Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Online Warriors podcast. It's the Summer Game Fest episode. And by that, I mean it's the Summer Game Fest Xbox Game Showcase.
It's basically mini
Ubisoft
E3.
Forward,
yeah, like what? Can they just chill? Like,
Nerdbomber, Tactic.
Give us one a week. Coordinate.
Yeah.
Well, I think, and not to deviate and like dive right into it, but I think the difference between E3 and what we get now, like E3, there was a bunch of stuff, but I felt like the showcases were limited to like an hour max. And here, like everything is like a 2 hour production. It's a lot.
Yeah, they were like, what if we gave you 45 minutes about Starfield, which we will be talking about, obviously. But yeah, it's a two-tiered kind of thing. Like, the first tier is, man, I have a busy week this week and I have to carve out time to watch or try to watch whatever, like 5 hours worth of video gaming content and trailers and all this, which, you know, first world problems. The even more first world problem is, I think I'm going to have to quit my job, stop having friends when all these games come out. Because they're all like, most of them are coming out like fall of 2023 or early 2024 that I could see. And guys, there's a lot, like we kind of, the way we're structuring this, spoiler alert, is we all basically chose a handful of games between 3 and 5 that we want to make sure we highlight, because there's other, we're not going to hit everything. We just say that right at the jump, because there's just too much. I think.
And the best part about it is next week it's going to be an Apple has a new microphone, and that's our show, folks. Just, I feel like this always happens.
Right. It does seem to have been crammed competitively into not even just 1 week, but really like one weekend. We're recording this the day that Ubisoft Forward. I mean, I think it's over by now that we're recording this. I don't actually know.
Well, yeah, because it's late at night now, and that was in the afternoon. So there were other showcases we didn't even get a chance to watch because they happened while we were ooting about and pre-recording. It just, there's only so much time in a day, man. There's only so much time.
Just got really Canadian just then. Yeah, no, I think like the games that we've selected, I think we're going to hit really what I think are the high points. I don't think we're going to leave out any major announcements that you're like, why didn't you talk about?
No, we're going to give you the meat and potatoes.
About Fable 4.
And for your guys' reference, I will probably stop talking to both of you when the fall and winter come around, because that's when all the good games are going to come around. And I hermit then anyway, so.
I look forward to it.
Wow. And, darn.
Jeez. And lest we forget, I mean, one of the things that did not come up in any of these showcases is Spider-Man 2, which we got the showcase on.
Well,
whatever,
that
two
was
weeks
also
ago.
In Summer Games Fest, but there was like a little bit more gameplay, I think, of it. But and they gave us the release date.
Yeah, at that point, it was pretty old hat. But yeah, that's a good point. But yeah, I mean, like, so we're coming off the Sony showcase, the PlayStation showcase, whatever it was called, where we got that and a bunch of other things, and now we're getting more and more things. And you know, I think, you know, we can kind of go around and give like one favorite and one thing that we want to make sure. I think we're going to start with Starfield because it's just the most, I almost said the most biggest, and then I stopped myself, but I'm going to unstop myself and say that it was the most biggest. Would you consider it to be the most biggest of, not just in terms of the scale of the game, but like the biggest announcement? We got the most content for it. It is the true.
Not happening. Only was it the most biggest, but after watching all of the information on Starfield, I literally, it was like, it just came into my brain, pushed the toilet bowl knobby, and just flushed everything down. I had to rewatch everything to refresh what happened.
Dude, I know like this is a very talked about game and has been since it was originally announced. And, you know, there's been years of development and all that kind of jazz. And some people are skeptical that Bethesda can deliver. Bethesda has buggy games, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. Microsoft needs games, et cetera, et cetera. But this looks fucking phenomenal. And I swore a little bit. It looks great. For someone like me, who loved Fallout 4, loved Mass Effect, this seems like a merging of both of those games into a mega game that I might get lost in. And the timing on this is really interesting because this comes out in September. And I don't think I would have, even if I played this like every day for a month, I don't know if I'd have this done in time to play Spider-Man. And I'm concerned about that because those are both games I really want to play this fall.
Well, that's why we get Spider-Man.
You're not gonna have this done
in my lifetime.
You're not gonna
probably
have this done for like a year,
dude. Assuming
2 years, 5 years,
they said there's over 1,000 planets, and I do tap out of open world games. Like at a certain point I'm like, okay, well, I'm done here, I need to move on. Just mentally I'm done. But if you realistically only spent an hour per planet, that's 1,000 hours of gameplay. That's insane. Like, I can't even comprehend that. I haven't put that much time in Rocket League. Just to level set everybody.
It sounds like I'm going to start with Spider-Man. You're going to play that game, and then you'll get winded by the time I've done Spider-Man.
Honestly, probably. I mean, I'll...
Literally winded.
Literally winded.
Gasping.
But I mean, it's everything that I wanted. I feel like I have a little bit more clarity, too, on what the game is. Like, obviously, when they first announced it, you couldn't really tell, like, what the general story was. But it feels like it's going to be kind of Fallout-esque in that, you know, there's probably an overarching storyline. But then you can really easily get lost down, you know, random quest lines that can be fleshed out themselves and probably could span an entire game themselves. But now you're doing it over an entire galaxy. And the ship customization, chef's kiss, oh my God.
The character customization,
chef's kiss, oh my God. One of the things...
I want to try and go in the order of
what
they showed us. And, you know, you're fine. I want to jump to a point you talked about with the main quest, which, like, first of all, have you guys played Fallout 4? Because I have.
Yes, it's fantastic. So to put context, and the listeners who weren't around for the Nerd Bomber podcast wouldn't know this, but you two would. There was a point in time towards the end of the Nerd Bomber podcast and the Nerd Bomber website where there were like a few weeks towards the end of that podcast where I was just like, I'm not going to be on the show. Sorry. Cough, cough. And I was just playing Fallout.
She lied, guys.
I remember this. I don't remember if I knew at the time.
It like took over my life. I would come home from work and I would get a folding chair because that was when we lived in our old apartment. And I would get a folding chair because the couch was too far away from our TV and the TV was smaller. And I'd put my camping chair right in front of the TV and I would just sink my entire evening into it. It was crazy.
But the point I was going to get to, and it sounds like you could certainly tell everyone, but like I would guess that if you went up to 100% of Fallout 4 players and ask them all, describe in 4 or 5 sentences the main story of Fallout, half wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah, I traversed.
Or at the very least, wouldn't have finished it.
I can't even remember what it was. I remember there was like a twisty twist at the end, but I don't remember.
My point is this was a 45-minute showcase or something, not including the trailer that came before. But like, they spent the first, 5 to 8 minutes talking about the story. And I think the story sounds good, sounds interesting. I like what it is, but I couldn't believe they led with that. Like, I'm just to be clear, I have no horse in this race. I do not have an Xbox. I won't have the opportunity to play this game, which makes me sad. And to deal with those emotions, I will be trying to pick some nits with this because I think you're going to be listening to a lot of podcasts that are going to talk about how great this is. And I think it is great. It's a Herculean development effort. I do think it's going to be buggy as heck, but I don't think that's their fault. When you make a game with 1,000 planets, there's really no way to avoid that, right? But leading with the story element of it, and you know, we can get into the customization and stuff, but like leading with the story element, I thought was interesting because I just think that's secondary to so many people.
But
and
let's talk about
one of the reasons that I don't like Fallout.
The story they gave you is to explore. Like, that's the story. They didn't really give you any more than that. It is open-ended. And so,
sure they did. Sure,
well, I mean,
they
showed like various side stories that you could go through and there's like artifacts, but what you do with that is up to you.
Yeah, finding artifacts is merely a condiment of your exploration dish.
I'm not sure if they would... I don't think they described it that way. I really don't. I mean, you described the main story. The main story is you're a part of Constellation and you are looking for these artifacts. To me, that's what it read as. I agree that no one's going to do that. And I think that's also like, there's probably a multitude of reasons why I never played Skyrim, I never played Fallout 4, and I probably never will. But I think the single biggest reason is that there's really no story and there's not supposed to be
one. I disagree. I think these games, while there is like an overarching story, it's kind of like a choose your own adventure book, like R.L. Stein books, where there were many stories within your little adventure. Whatever you chose, you told a full story. It's just a bunch of mini stories all kind of stacked into one fun experience.
I do think, Nerd Bomber, you are going to get bored of this because you have, and I quote, this is a direct Online Warriors quote, open world games with no direction just kind of overwhelm me.
But I don't know if this has no direction per se. Like, as long as there are quest lines,
it has no direction. It has
no direction. It definitely does. I mean, there are mission markers and stuff. And the reason why I think that I'll be able to stick around in this, so first of all, I have played Fallout 4. I know how they unravel their missions.
But I think this is going to be more akin to Skyrim than it is going to be Fallout 4.
But you also forget the 100 hours I sank into Mass Effect 2 exploring every single planet just because I wanted to.
which is also fair. Different. Like, I guess because you wanted to is the caveat there. There wasn't a story-based reason for you to do it. It sounds like you just did it, which to me, that's what this sounds like. And you know, that scratches a lot of people's itches. I'm not demeaning that or diminishing that in any way. I'm just saying that, you know, I think almost everything else about this, I was like, yes, I'm 100% on board. The fact that there's no story and also the fact that it's, you know, on Xbox just kind of disqualify me from playing it.
I do think that you should go and try to play something like Skyrim or Fallout, because I think you, once you get over the hump, I think you would come to like it, because it is, although you don't really like RPG.
It's grind. It's a grind.
It's not really so much a grind. It's more like you have to choose your own adventure. You have to seek out people and then go on quest lines and let things unravel. And I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to dwell on my attitude towards this whole genre of game. I mean, you were getting into the character customization and the ship customization. I want to talk about the space flight, and I want to voice another concern. But until then, I'll pipe down, because I think both the character customization and the ship customization...
What are you talking about, the exit velocity, that it's not accurate to real life when they kept saying that they cited NASA? Yeah, that kind of bothered me, too.
No, that's not what I was talking about, Captain Nerd. Sorry, Nerd Bomber. I just called him Captain Nerd. You're Captain Nerd. No, what I was, and I don't want to cut to the chase, but they're using the same mechanic that Star Wars Squadrons used of like distribute your power to these various. I don't love that. That was like, when I saw that, I was like,
you just want your cannons at full power all the time.
Again, we're getting back to me and RPGs. That's just like, that's a management task.
But I wonder.
I don't see that as fun.
I wonder. So like going back, and I keep making comparisons to Fallout 4. But there were a lot of ways that you could modify your Fallout 4 experience by altering some of the play settings and completely ignoring things that you didn't like or you didn't want to do, because it was very customizable. And I'm not even saying turning it on easy mode, but there were just options that you could choose to kind of automate some things over others, so you just didn't have to focus on them and that you could just enjoy
but
the
then
experience.
I feel,
well, no, no, no. Hey. I'm willing to bet that that's an early game issue that you're going to have to overcome. And I bet you just fly around in a walking battery pack where everything is at full energy and you don't even have to worry about it. Again, this is one of those tailoring your ship, your experience to what playstyle you enjoy.
Right. And they, you know, in various aspects of this whole gameplay walkthrough, they talked about that, right? They basically said you should and can play how you want to play. If you're a stealthy player, you know, advance your stealth skills and get certain weapons, and you know it's so that you can choose your own adventure. Truly
slow moving just death machine where we're going on a Disney cruise through the galactic unknown with death machine.
Well, one of the things that I always find interesting about, you know, games like this and all the customization options is that, you know, I feel like my experience with this game is going to be drastically different from Tectics, because I feel like Tectic, you will play this because you played Fallout, right?
Yeah, I played it all.
Okay, so I know you're on board for a game like this, and I feel like we're both going to end up playing this, especially with it being on Game Pass. It's a no-brainer. I love...
Well, can we talk about that watch? It might be a brainer to spend some money on this one. That watch.
I have no interest in the watch. I already have a very functional smartwatch, so I don't need another watch. But you do you, boo-boo.
$299.99, you get a game and a watch.
But for me, like... You're describing your slow Disney cruise ship, and I want like a fast ship that can go far and explore a bunch of different planets. And also, I'm going to have a build where I can run and gun and just be destructive. And I feel like you're going to be a little bit more methodical, because you tend to be a little bit more stealthy and like rangy in the characters that you build. And I find that it's really cool. Like, we probably will even pursue one of the things that they showed in the character customization is that, and on top of having like your own history, because you can choose the history of your character on top of like the person, like the physical attributes, you can pick the personality and backstory, but there's even like additional traits that you can pick, like a religion or some kind of like backstory that you can personally customize alongside that backstory. And I feel like that's going to change the trajectory of my story versus yours, because it said that you can open up different quest lines based on what you choose. And I just find it very fascinating in a game this big that I can be talking about my playthrough and Tectic will have a completely different experience with it.
I don't it's so mammoth in its scale, not just as a technical achievement, but as a storytelling achievement. And just like, how many people have worked on this for how long? It's a 25-year effort. Like, I just, I'm not questioning its depth. That's one of the few, it's one of the things I'm not questioning. And there's a number of things I'm not questioning. There's some certain things that I am. But like, yeah, they clearly have, first and foremost, made sure that this is going to be as immersive as it can be, as unique to each player as it can be, which I think is incredibly cool. The combat, I was taken in by this. I think this was the thing that I was watching it. I, you know, because before this section, you know, you're watching all these people from Bethesda talking about the different ways they can play. And there was this guy, and I'm sorry, but I have to make fun of this guy, who was like, I like to talk my way out of situations. It just shows him like talking to a guy and bribing him and going through a door. And I was like, how boring. How boring is that? And then they're like, here's the combat. And I was like, wow, this is like the booster packs and all the different weapons. And just that whole thing looks extremely dialed in. And I was very, very on board. That was when I was aching the most for not having an Xbox.
The point in which I fully finished was at the end, where it looked like you had even like biotic abilities. I came to completion at that point.
That was interesting. And I'm glad you mentioned that. And they didn't really provide any explanation for it.
They straight up did gravity inversion. That's what it looked like.
It implied a lot that we don't yet know, which like that is kind of a cool thing. At the end of a 45-minute showcase, you can also say, and we haven't even shown you like this purportedly huge piece of the gameplay. Like, that's a pretty big mic drop moment. So yeah, I'm sad. I think this is like going to be a huge deal. I think it looks graphically amazing. We haven't really talked much about that aspect of it, but there's not much to talk about. I think it just looks really, really good. It looks exactly how it should. Like I said, I think like I feel terrible for the QA team that has to test this, because it's too big to be tested fully. Like, the bugs will happen. There's no way around that.
You could play this too on the new 1 TB Xbox Series S.
Yeah, I mean, it's, they're doing everything right, and Xbox has to be thrilled with this partnership, because this is going to put asses in the seats. Like, I don't think I'm fixing to buy an Xbox at the moment, just because I don't have enough time to play my PS5 as it is. But if I had the time, then yes, this would absolutely be a potentially swaying factor. Just for the scope of it. I mean, again, you could buy this game and you could play nothing but this game for 2 years probably without really scratching the surface of it. So yeah, we're gonna move on, because again, there's just, we could talk about that for an entire episode, but there was more that happened. And you know, I wanted to kind of spend that one on the sidelines, because again, I'm not an Xbox player. I want to get in the game big time for Star Wars Outlaws, because
dope.
I think that this is, I have extremely high hopes for this. I think this is the Star Wars game that many people, myself included, have been waiting for a very long time. Now the one of the comparisons that I saw was Grand Theft Auto on Tatooine, and I want to push back on that. I want to
hate that.
Instead draw a different comparison, which I think is going to be more correct, which is, it is Star Wars Uncharted. When I watched this, I thought, this is Star Wars Uncharted,
but this is open world.
I want it right now. It's open world, but the gameplay that they showed, you know, considering the banter between the main character and the droid and her, whatever that thing is,
sidekick
and also
companion,
the combat
that I want very much.
Yeah, the combat, the speeder bike chase that happened, like, it was all so Uncharted. The open world part was the only part that really wasn't that way to me. Everything else, I was like, this looks like you're playing an Uncharted game. It's a totally new story. It takes place during the reign of the Empire. There's nary a Jedi in sight that I could see. These are all good things to me. I think this is,
I concur with that,
absolutely the game everyone is looking for. I think it's going to do everything that people may have misguidedly been thinking that Battlefront 2
And you
do.
Know what we won't have to do
I
in
think
this?
This is going to do a lot of those things.
We won't have to parry.
Well, yeah, it's, I have like my issues with the whole like Jedi thing. It's not just because of my experience with Jedi Survivor. It's just that like Star Wars is such a rich world. And when you look at all the games that are Jedi focused, there's so much more Star Wars to be had. And I think the gameplay can be more interesting.
When The Mandalorian first came out, that's why it was so well received. It was something different.
Yeah. There's, you know, how many planets in Star Wars have a gritty underworld? You could write entire prestige drama shows about that, probably. We haven't. But like, I just think this game is, it looks incredible. I think graphically, it may have been the best thing I saw out of all this.
And you have a bit of a choose your own adventure, too. There's consequences, decisions that you can make, and different storylines that come from those decisions. Also, great way to play out this game.
It felt, and again, going back to the Uncharted comparison, which I stand by, it felt cinematic at various points. And you know, it's not just the actual cutscenes. It's things that happen while you're playing as this character. The things that she's saying, again, to the other characters while you're shooting guys. Like, it's not necessarily quippy, but it's characterizing in-game. I think that's, like, super, super important. And, yeah, I loved everything this game did. This is thankfully going to be on PS5. It's a day one buy for me. 100%.
They're also staying true with the Jedi, or rather, with the Star Wars, you got to have something cute. We had the little robot, and now we got this axolotl thing.
Well, to say nothing of Baby Yoda, I think it was more, they're like, hey, you know how cute Baby Yoda is? Let's give our main character in this game a Baby Yoda. To me, that was a little bit like, I think they were taking the cue, that cue from The Mandalorian, which I'm fine with, if only because it provides a lot of interesting gameplay opportunities as well. Also, the music. I don't think I even need to say that, but the music sounded amazing. So,
do you think we're going to start seeing more Star Wars games? I mean, obviously, we have the Jedi series, and now we have this. Do you think we're going to get more in the open world space if this does well?
I think this is going to build to a team. I think she's the new Han Solo. We have Cal being the new Luke.
But that's EA.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, these are two different companies. There's no way.
Oh, man.
What's the one that's coming out? We don't know anything about it. It's not, they announced it with like a weird cinematic trailer. I can't think of the name of it. There's another big Star Wars game that purportedly will be open world. And I think it takes place during the Old Republic times, but I can't remember the name of it. It's like Star Wars Echoes or something. Some weird name like that. I'll have to try and Google that. But I think the short answer to your question is yes. But I also like, I want to see, there is a time. And again, now I'm appealing to the nostalgic side of me, but like Star Wars Racer, Bounty Hunter, like there were so many cool Star Wars games that came out that were one-offs. That I'm not asking them to remaster Bounty Hunter necessarily, I'm not asking them to remaster Star Wars Racer, but like there's so many racing things you could do in the Star Wars universe that aren't being done. Like it's such a rich universe, and you don't even need to make a Jedi game or a game like Outlaws. Is you can make something totally different, you know. You can make something like many of the other games that we've seen in these showcases that we're going to talk about. And the fact that it's in the Star Wars universe and is backed up by such a rich ecosystem of content is going to set it apart from other games like it. So, yeah, short answer is yes. But if you couldn't tell, I was enamored. I was very enamored with what we saw from that game.
I mean, this was definitely one of the highlights of the entire weekend and one of the biggest surprises, because I didn't know about this game, I don't think. Like, I knew there was a game in progress with Ubisoft, and I think there's like a Respawn first person shooter-esque type game, and I know there's like a few others in the hopper, but like I just didn't expect it, and I didn't expect it to look this good.
I think we've spent a lot of time with Star Wars. I mean, yes, the Jedi Survivor games have been, or the Jedi Outcast Survivor, whatever they're called, have been good. I think that there was a golden age of Star Wars games that came and went, and we have a chance at getting it back. I don't know that we will, but we've had some pretty dark ages of Star Wars video game content of late. So something to keep an eye on. We're going to move on. I want to cover at least one more before the break, but those were two of the really, really big ones. I'm going to just kind of open the floor now. Nerd Bomber, do you want to just shout out another one from Game Fest and or Ubisoft and or Xbox, whatever tickles your fancy?
I mean, I thought Avowed also looked really good. This is another one from Xbox. And I have to say, you know, Xbox has gotten a lot of flack over the last few years for not having a lot of original games, but I think they really came out swinging with this showcase. And especially, not to knock on the PlayStation showcase, but we're used to getting so many like first party previews and exclusives from PlayStation. And really their last showcase was just a lot of games that are coming out on every console. And I think this is the first time, not that it's a competition, that Xbox kind of like one-upped and showed some stuff that they've been working on that has been in the hopper, but we really haven't seen a lot of progress with. And Avowed was one that, you know, we originally saw, I think it was either last summer or maybe 2 years ago, but this is by Obsidian, and it's a fantasy, like magic, melee sort of style game. And it just looks so cool to me. This is the kind of stuff that I love. I love playing like fantasy worlds. It looked really like a very beautiful world. I know some people on the internet is saying that the art style is a little outdated, but personally, like, I don't know, I thought it looked really good. And even just the story that they kind of set up where you're this all-powerful being, it seems like you've amassed all this power and the people that you're trying to help are kind of scared of you because they don't know like what you're end goal is. It just seems like a really interesting storyline, and I feel like Obsidian brings the heat in terms of their writing. So I'm very, very excited for this one. I love magical stuff, so this is in my wheelhouse.
I thought this one was exactly fine looking. I will say the flack that it's taking for graphics, I think, is well founded. I did not think it looked very good. I think everything you said about the story and what the game itself is, I think it's going to be very entertaining. But I don't know. I was inclined to compare this to a game that we'll get to later, and we've talked about on this show before, Immortals of Avium, Mavium. I can never pronounce the name of it, and I never will be able to. And I know they're quite different looking games, but there's some commonalities that, to me, I was more impressed by Immortals than this one.
See,
but
I think it's just a difference in art style, though. And like Obsidian has always kind of leaned into a more cartoony art style, and I don't mind that. I personally think that's fun, so I enjoy that.
I suspect Immortals is going to take itself more seriously, which maybe that's what I want. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I certainly Avowed was good enough that I noticed it. I think I watched that one right after Star Wars or something, and I was like, this is more Star Wars, please. So it kind of suffered for that, but it looked very good. Technic, do you want to give us one here before the break, and then we'll come back and talk some more?
Yeah, but I want to make sure that this gets the time it deserves, because this was my, like, besides the heavy hitters, this was like my number one, this game looks awesome. Prince of Persia, they did a complete reimagining of the character. The art style looked amazing. The gameplay looked amazing. The trailer for it, just the soundtrack was just absolutely sweet. Like, oh my goodness, if you're not excited to play Prince of Persia, what were you watching? Just what were you watching?
It looked cool. My reservation is that will the action that they were showing in a lot of the cinematics come through? It looked like it was more side-scrollery type platformer. And will that Prince of Persia action come through? And I know Prince of Persia, I believe, started as a 2D side-scroller game, but my experience with the franchise has been like the 3D platformer.
Mine was 3D platformer as well. I played it on the PSP. That was peak Prince of Persia for me. But I mean, I always circle back to this, right? We know that side scrollers can slap. Metroid Dread just did a really nice balance with the 3D cutscenes or quick time events and the 2D platforming. There is a right way to do it, and that's what this looks like it has and has executed properly.
Yeah, I mean, this was the first video that I watched out of all the showcases, and the only thing I wrote down was Tectic and Metroid Dread. So I think that I knew you were going to want to talk about this one, and I think everything you said about it is right. I think that, and I love Metroid Dread too. It wasn't just a U game, it was a Mii game also. So this is definitely one that I think I would enjoy. I don't know if I'm going to run out and buy it, because I don't have much context in the Prince of Persia universe. I don't know how important that is, but
it seems like it's a complete reimagining. So I don't think that's a problem at all.
Yeah, that's certainly what they would lead me to believe, I guess. But yeah, that one looked quite good. So there's, again, a lot more we're going to get to. Some of it's going to be more rapid fire after the break here. I think we covered two of the bigger ones in Star Wars and Starfield, but there's a couple other games that we got some larger showcases for that we'll get into after the break. So we'll take a short break now, but before we do that, of course, Mr. Stephen Keller. Stephen, tell us on Twitter, or on Patreon, because you're a member on Patreon, what games from these showcases you were the most interested in or excited by, and also give us the opportunity to thank you for supporting us on Patreon. Steven supports us at the night level on Patreon. It's the highest of our three levels. As a result, he gets his producer shout out every episode. He gets input into the weekly game segment, the occasional guest spot on the show. Steven was just on recently. Hopefully he had a good time. Steven, if you didn't have a good time, tell us, and we'll fix it up. There's also a Squire level of support on patreon.com, which gets you access to the monthly secret segment and vlog, and a page level, which gets you access to the monthly secret segment. Details on any and all of those levels of support can be found over at patreon.com/onlinewarriorspodcast. Thanks again to Steven. We will be right back to talk more Summer Game Fest, Ubisoft, and Xbox Games Showcase.
I'm Madam Chris.
And I'm Madam Amy.
And we're the hosts of the Madams Podcast, where it's all about movies, minus the mansplaining.
Every week, we discuss a film that fits into a quirky theme for the month.
And there's plenty of bonus content on our Patreon feed, too.
So if you're looking for commentary that'll make you laugh and think, you found your new favorite show.
New episodes of The Madams drop on Mondays, wherever you get your podcasts.
And you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at The Madams Pod, or on our website, themadamspod.com.
Tectic, if there's one thing I know about you, it's that you liked Metroid Dread, which we just talked about. If there's another thing I like about it, well, I like a lot of things about you. If there's another thing I know about you, it's that you are familiar with the world of Dragon Ball Z. If there's another thing I could guess about you, it's that you liked Sandland.
There's one thing that you didn't guess about me, and it's that I'm a slut for Toriyama. I'm just an ass.
Wow.
And so, yeah. The art style of Sandland looked absolutely nostalgic AF.
You said nostalgic.
So nostalgic. It took me right back to my Dragon Ball days when I got home from school and popped that on the old telly. It was fantastic. This isn't a Dragon Ball spinoff or anything like that. This is a story where basically demons and humans kind of coexist. And in a world where you're not a human, you can be human by helping humanity. Like, ah, such a good story. The whole world looked like it was taken over by Capsule Corp based on the technology that they had. It was all of that copy-paste art style. And I'm going to play it just for that. And that's why I say I'm just a slut for him. That's it. It's plain and simple.
Yeah, I want you to stop saying you're a slut, so I'm going to take over. I don't know that I had much to write home about with this one outside of the art style, but yes, the art style was, I would say, unique and appealing from my recall of it.
Slut.
I also know that you're Sonic. Can you not say slut again if I talk about Sonic?
Yeah, I'm a pretty big whoer for Sonic as well.
Yeah, Sonic Superstars. Looks like they are trying to bring back 2D side-scrolling.
That's not why this was on my excited list. It is because it is a co-op gameplay. There was literally a night where Nerd Bomber and I were sitting at home, and I bought the old Sonic 2 for, what was it, for the like Sega system?
No, I mean, it was the Sega collection, but this was on Xbox.
Right, but like, I bought that game. I paid real monies for it just so that we can play co-op, which, like, hopefully this is better co-op, because that co-op was fake co-op.
Tails came to find. Was off the screen like 90% of the time.
Basically a background character that you... It's that game was... You give the controller to like your two-year-old nephew so they think they're helping, and you're actually just playing as Sonic. Hopefully this co-op is like... legit co-op, and it looked like it was. I mean, you all changed to jellyfishes and you bounced around. I am concerned about keeping up with the other one, so as long as they can execute that appropriately, oh yeah, this was something I was excited for.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly seems like they are putting the whole co-op aspect of it pretty front and center, so I would hope and doubt that it's not quote-unquote fake co-op. I'm going to take a second to... I'm not going to be a slut or a, what did you say?
Whore.
I will instead just gush normally about Alan Wake 2. I think that I desperately, desperately need to play Alan Wake Remastered. Thankfully, it is available on PS5. It is cranking up the priority list because I think Alan Wake 2, depending on if I like Alan Wake Remastered, Alan Wake 2 might be a day one.
Are you going to play Alan Wake Remastered? Or, because I know like there is a little blur.
Oh yeah, I need
where
to.
Was it the game director, producer of the studio, Sam Lake, basically said that you don't need to play the first game in order to play this one. Like the cop who is one of the two main characters that you control in the game basically is figuring stuff out along with you so that if you don't play the first game, you can still kind of jump right in and you'll just discover things as you go.
I'd like to play the first game because I think it will make me feel smart during the second game, and I like feeling smart.
I do think
that's my
from what I've heard,
basic.
And this sounds scary, and I don't know if I'm even going to play it because it looked very scary. But from what I've heard, especially after playing like Control and stuff like that, Remedy has definitely evolved their combat system, and I have just heard some inklings that if you go back and play the original Alan Wake, it'll feel really janky in comparison to like today's standards.
I will be the judge of that.
Okay.
Because I think that, sorry, I don't know why that sounded so grave and final, but I think that watching the Alan Wake 2, because again, this was one, we got a pretty decent look at this. I mean, this was gameplay footage, not just a trailer. And man, oh man, I was so taken in by this. Everything visually with it, the level of darkness. I love the idea of being in the FBI and solving a crime in a video game. You would think that would happen constantly, but it really doesn't ever. Like, I can think of like maybe one or two games that do that. So I want to be a part of that. And I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of concrete things to say about this other than that I think it looked really good graphically. I love the vibe. And I'm in on this. So that was one that I definitely wanted to highlight. Another one that I think it was on one of your guys' lists as well. I want to highlight it, if only because I think it had maybe the best trailer, the most unique and compelling trailer that I saw may have been the one for Fable, just because it managed to surprise me when I didn't think that was possible. And I think I'm seeing more and more of this in these game trailers. I think I talked
have
about this
either
in the
of
PlayStation
you played
Showcase
Fable?
Too.
I haven't. I know you have.
I have not. Yeah. So maybe I should. Maybe you weren't surprised, but
oh no,
trailer
the trailer was fantastic.
Was memorable.
It.
Yeah.
And the only reason I knew it was Fable when I was watching this because I saw the trailer outside of the showcase. Yeah. It was just. It was fantastic. It's quippy. It was a fun ride to watch. And the one thing that I'm just kind of like, about is the thing that made Fable exciting is it fixated on the fact that it was an internal struggle of the character between good and evil. If you commit a lot of, you know, killings and you're a jerk, you become like a demonous person. And inversely, if you're good and you always take the right path, you become almost angelic. And I didn't see any of that in this. And that's what's kind of intriguing to me.
I wonder, though, if that's not a lot you can fit into a cinematic trailer. You know what I mean? I feel like that'll probably be something that comes out because that is like such a heart of Fable. You know, that's what made that IP and that game when it originally came out so unique was that it was kind of like Black and White, too, was another game that came out like that at the time, where it was one of the first things where your decisions mattered and directly impacted the way that you played the game. So I think it would be a miss if they didn't include that in the reboot. And I'm sure it's just something that you don't see yet because we haven't seen gameplay. We don't have a whole lot of details. But I think at least in maintaining the humor, because I remember I watched you play a little bit because you were playing on like Steam Link on the TV at one point. And like, it seems like they've preserved the witty humor and banter that I remember from the first game. Because I remember the first game, like there were some times when I'd be listening and there would just be funny stuff happening. And I feel like they've captured that essence. So I have optimism for this game. Just based on this cinematic trailer alone, I thought the trailer at least made me very interested.
Yeah, and it's, as you mentioned, it's cinematic. So like, me not having played a Fable game, I don't actually know. I don't have the context to know what the gameplay itself is like, but from a pure trailer perspective, it managed to stand out in spite of the fact that I didn't see any gameplay just because it was very cleverly crafted. It used that guy who's one of those that guys. I do not know his name,
he's
but
in
he's
the IT
funny
crowd,
and he's in
right?
things.
I don't know his name, but
which was a good tactic. The only other recognizable face we saw may have been Nicolas Cage's in Dead by Daylight. Which I don't really want to talk about. I just like Nicolas Cage.
But you
like
will soon because you're going to play
he's it. Gonna be in Dead by Daylight. He's going to be in Dead by Daylight. So yeah, I guess it's an obligation for
you
me
know,
now because
this one wasn't on any of our lists, but I was actually surprised that this wasn't on your list. Still Wakes the Deep. I don't know if you got a chance to see this trailer illegal, but this was the one where it was a very short teaser trailer, but it looked like Dead Space on a oil rig in the middle of the ocean. And I think for sure that's like up your alley.
I think I'm mixing this one up with what is the one where they're underwater? Because that one was on my short list, but it did not make my Under the Waves. Under the Waves looked pretty interesting. Submarine piloting and scuba diving with an unsettling atmosphere. The guy's having a mental breakdown. Comes out August 29th too, so it comes out very soon.
I feel like things that seem like there's like mental breakdowns and like ominous atmosphere, I feel like I just associate them with you at this point.
Yeah, BioShock, Dead Space, you know. It's definitely, to some extent, The Last of Us. There's definitely
Illegal,
vibes.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. This is, it's just, yeah, I don't know. It's, I respond to it. I'm not going to deny that characterization one bit. Banisher's Ghost of Eden, of New Eden. Yeah, Banisher's
Dude,
Ghost of
yes.
Eden. Those people are going through something. Or that guy. I mean, it's just him, right? But he's like connecting with his dead wife. Is that what we're, am I understanding this right? I think that looked amazing. I think I'm interested in that one.
This is, so if you haven't played any of Focus Entertainment's games that they've published lately, they take a lot of swings on really artistic storytelling games that are more, they play in like the crossover between AA and AAA, like A Plague Tale that was published by Focus Entertainment, and like Greedfall, and a handful of those games that aren't necessarily your full AAA experiences, but nonetheless tend to be like really good instances in storytelling. And this seems like another home run hit, if just based on this trailer alone. I mean, I know we had seen like the cinematic trailer for this a while ago, where you discover that his wife is dead and that they're like harbingers of spirits. But I like the idea of like, if you're playing as him, you have certain abilities and you can see some part of the world. But then if you swap and you have control of her, from what, and I might be talking about my butt, but this is what I got out of the trailer, like you can see more of like the spirit realm, and you kind of use that dual perspective to maneuver and make decisions. And this is another one where it seemed like you could make decisions, like whether or not you wanted to like dispel a spirit or not.
Yeah, banish.
Man, this just looked really good.
Yeah, this one looked really good. Nerdbomber, kind of rounding out your list, the other one that you mentioned that I think I said in our group chat made me sweaty was, I don't know how to pronounce it, Jusant? The one where you're climbing really tall stuff and making me sweaty.
Yeah, I thought this was interesting because this is basically a platformer, but instead of like your side scroller, it's more of like a vertical scroller type platformer. And I think that's just a unique take on the genre. Not to mention, and I mean, I know there were like instances then where you're running around on surfaces and it's not all climbing, but the majority of the game is climbing. And I just think that's a really unique take.
I think platformer is not a good description of it. I would call it more of a puzzle game. And honestly, when I was watching this, I got Talos Principle vibes. I really did.
Definite puzzle mechanic for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there's also like cute little backpack friend. And you guys know me. Give me like a cartoony art style with cute little friends and I'm here. It kind of like, I know it's completely different game style and different art style and everything, but it weirdly reminded me of Kena Bridge of Spirits, probably just because they were cute little friends. And I like cute little friends.
I was sweaty the whole time. Did I mention that? Even digital, not real heights send me to a dark, dark place. So that will not be a buy for me. But it definitely looked cute. The only other one get back to you in a second. The only one I wanted to mention that I haven't already, and I in passing mentioned Immortals of Avium. I'm just going to say both because I still don't know how to pronounce it. We got more gameplay. And I was. I don't know if this is a day one buy for me, but I was pretty taken in. I have questions about the difficulty. It looks hard.
I noticed one thing, like based on your comments, the last time we got gameplay footage from this game, your main comment was that you thought that it was a little bit visually overstimulating and fast.
Yeah.
And it felt like, I don't know if they heard people or maybe they just want to show a different side of the gameplay, but it felt a little bit slower and more manageable in terms of what was happening on screen. Did you feel that way?
The pace has slowed down, but I think there's just like, you are a master sorcerer, magician, whatever word you want to use. You clearly have so many tricks up your sleeve that how you choose which one to use at any given time seems like a daunting choice. But I like the movement. It looked like there were like grapple points that you could kind of move around between, and it made things a lot more fluid. The colors of what you're doing seem important in some way. I didn't fully pick up on what the importance of the colors is, but it seems like the abilities change color wise. They probably mean certain things. I liked the look of it, but again, I was just like, I can't imagine playing it. And you know, you could say this about a lot of the demos that we saw and a lot of the gameplay that we saw. It's like we saw, you know, them jumping like 25 feet in the air in Starfield and like doing perfect headshots. Like Immortals of Avium, they want to showcase everything, right? So they're showing you every power and they're quickly cycling between things that you can do. When you're actually playing the game, you're probably playing it quite differently. You're probably not as good at it as the people who designed the game, and you're also, you know, probably not playing it in a mind of like, I'm going to use every ability that is available to me in a 2-second span so people can see it. There's a grain of salt you have to take it with.
That I do have to like wrap my head around, and I did not realize it, and I'm not going to say that it ruined it for me a little bit, but I don't know if you guys have watched Never Have I Ever. It's Mindy Kaling's like high school show on Netflix. Final season just
is the main guy like from that show or something.
Yeah. And now I can't unhear him. Like I just, when then they showed him talking in the game, like doing the voiceover, all I could think about was the show. So I'm probably in like a few months, I'll distance myself enough from watching the show. Like, it literally, the last season just dropped over the weekend. So I'm actively watching it. And it was just like a weird cognitive dissonance. And I was like, oh, that's very strange.
He looks like, looks like Jamie Tart from Ted Lasso to me. That's what I see.
He was also in, there was a Netflix rom-com where the main female character was on Tinder or something. And then I forgot the comedian's name, but the comedian was pretending that that guy was him and used his pictures, but it wasn't.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
It's the Christmas one. It's the Christmas one. I can't think of the name of it. The Christmas one, guys. Look it up.
But yeah, good for him. Branching out in the world. Pulling a real Nick Cage here.
Yeah. Well, Nick Cage arguably is branching out more than anyone ever should. Yeah, so Tectic, do you want to kind of round us out here? Anything that you wanted to mention that you didn't have a chance to mention?
Have you guys ever played one of the coolest games on the Xbox 360, Time Shift?
Yeah, I played the demo.
You've asked me to.
Did you love it?
Not enough to buy it.
Okay, so a game that was announced.
Dude, not enough to buy it, though. It was like $2.99 for the longest time.
You can get it for a halfpenny. This is another.
I played the demo significantly long enough ago where it did not cost a halfpenny at the time. I can confirm that.
So another game that was announced was called Clockwork, and it is Time Shift. It is a new Time Shift. You are kind of exploring a story. You can manipulate time. Your manipulations in time have effects in the past, present, whichever one relative to the other one you're referring to. And it just, I always enjoy time travel as just a continuity mindfuck in a game. It is a good time for me. So I loved Time Shift. There's no reason why I wouldn't love this game as well.
To be honest with you, I don't have full knowledge of this one, but that just leaves it as a secret gem for me to discover.
It gave me like Arcane vibes, like in terms of like the game style. Was it Time Loop?
Deathloop.
That's the one.
No, I didn't get Deathloop vibes.
It gave me some Deathloop vibes. I don't know why it did.
If this is a roguelite, I'm out.
I don't think it's going to go that route, but it just gave me Deathloop vibes in terms of just like the vibe. I'm not verbalizing that well, but sometimes you just have a gut like, hey, this reminds me of that, and you can't really put your finger on
it. I need to get back to Deathloop. I tried it for a second and then I got scared and busy.
Don't get scared. Don't get dizzy.
Busy. I wasn't dizzy. I was fully fine.
Oh, I was like, damn, I didn't think this game would get you dizzy, but no, go for it.
It was intimidating. So at OWLady6, at OW Tectic, at OW Nerd Bomber, and our main show account at Online Warriors 1, let us know what we missed in the showcases that you were sad we didn't hit. I mean, there's so many things here. I mean, just in Summer Games Fest, there's like, I don't know, 20 games we did not have a chance to cover. There's just so many. So happy to start a conversation with you guys on Twitter about what you thought looked good. I mean, there's TV shows in here too. The Witcher, Twisted Metal, those got some glances. So yeah, a lot to get through. A lot we couldn't get through, but we're going to move now into What Are You Up To Wednesday. I'm going to go first this week. I'm only going to shout out one thing, really, because I've just been playing Metroid Prime and, not a whole lot to say other than that it's still good. But I started watching a show that actually came out originally in like 2014 that most of you who know me probably would have thought that I've already watched, but I didn't watch it and I'm watching it now. And that show is called The Newsroom. This show was on for three seasons. Have you guys watched all of The Newsroom?
Yeah, yep. It's so good. I think we recommended it to you like back in the day and you were like...
So I think I've watched three or four episodes. It's great. I mean, it's exactly what you would expect if you know and like Aaron Sorkin and his writing style. It's very interesting, you know, as a West Wing like super fan, it's obviously all of his hallmarks are still there in this show. And there's a lot of similarities you can draw pretty much immediately, but it's interesting without getting like overtly political. It's very interesting to see him on the West Wing write predominantly Democratic characters and they're quote unquote the good guys and the protagonists. And in The Newsroom, I think he's treating it as a challenge to himself to do the opposite. And it's very interesting to watch. And I think it's well executed. The show was not super well reviewed and it died after three seasons, but I'm enjoying it. And also like I've never, as much as I love The West Wing, I've never finished it. And I think
it came out before its time is the problem. I think had it came out five, maybe even 10 years later, it would have done
a lot of the themes. And again, I'm only four episodes in, but a lot of the themes that it's touching on do seem like eerily prescient for 2014 now being in 2023, almost 10 years later, a lot of the things that are the main themes of the show, which, as you can imagine, centers around like the integrity of broadcast journalism and things like that. Like, it's very current.
Like, it hits so much harder.
And the show is structured, for those that don't know, the show is structured around actual events. So it's a fictional newsroom with fictional characters. But the episode I just watched was involved them covering the shooting of a senator in Arizona in 2011, Gabby Giffords in Arizona. So it's just like, it's very interesting to kind of watch it now and think like, oh, I remember when that happened. And having a show that fictionally portrays those events in the context of certain characters in certain situations is a really great idea. I'm kind of at this point wondering why the show didn't do better. You know, it wasn't on for more seasons, but there are certain shortcomings I can see. And I do think that like it is no West Wing, and it's trying to be. And I think that's a lot of people probably gave it some crap for that. But I'm really, really enjoying it. I'm probably going to watch all three seasons. So yeah, that's what's going on in my neck of the woods. I will turn things over to Tectic to continue on.
Okay, so I got two major updates that I want to talk about. The first thing, we've had some weird weather here. So it's been inside time through and through, and I have been working hard on the Online Warriors video game. And even before this episode, I asked our fellow casters, hey, what powers would a trio have if they got sucked into the online, if I may? And boy was Illegal and Nerd Bomber coming in hot with the suggestion. So it is coming along. It's a lot of fun learning how to use C++ to code a video game. And I highly recommend it. I said this before and I'll say it again. You know, the Butano libraries are a great reference material. Check them out and see what you can create. It's a good time. The other thing, and this has been a long time coming, of years and years of, yeah, sure, we'll get around to it. I promise. Well, folks, we've done it. We've started binging the Twilight movies.
And I got long last.
I gotta say, we watched the first two movies, and I'm excited for Eclipse.
The quality jump.
It's insane.
Between the first Twilight movie, which I think was relatively low budget, I don't think they expected it to do well, even though they had a banger of a soundtrack. Paramore, Linkin Park originals, chef's kiss. I don't think they expected to do well. And then the quality jump to the second movie was just astronomical. And I don't, you know, people knock on Kristen Stewart's acting ability, but I feel like it was more like...
I think it's director.
I think it was director. Like, she was still a little like awkward because that's what the character is. But the weird, like, what do you think about rain? Let me gulp and lick my lips for 5 minutes before I answer your question. That stopped in the second movie, more or less. So
yeah, it seemed crazy. Like they didn't know how to turn words into acting. Like, they literally just read the book as the script and were like, okay, do this. So like another example, and this didn't go away in the second one, is Jacob, his arms got bigger, and she made multiple mentions of, and in the book, it was probably something along the lines of, I noticed his biceps were significantly larger, bulging, the sweat beating down, something sensual, I assume. And she would look at him, grab his arm and go, wow, Jacob, you have big arms. And this was done multiple times. And like, I feel like there's more subtle ways where you can notice that arms got bigger without just being like, look at your arms. So long story short, I'm not trying to knock on Kristen Stewart. I think it's just a combination of writing, the writers, and like the direction of it. And I think they're slowly but surely figuring it out. I've heard Eclipse is the best one. So maybe that'll be like peak Twilight, but you know what? I'm excited. So don't hate on it. Get your baseball sparkly scene, vampire fix.
Still them. Iconic.
Ah, so cringy. It's no.
No, iconic.
No. They're super speed run. So
yeah,
weird.
And everyone would remember it. Iconic.
Sure. I've only ever seen the first one, and I was triggered when you said the thing about gulping and looking at the rain for 5 minutes, because that's basically all that movie is. but yeah, enjoy it. Keep us updated. Hey, Nerd Bomber, why don't you close us out?
All right. So aside from, you know, watching Twilight with Tectic, there's two major developments that have happened in life. So first of all, Tectic really wanted to like get into golf randomly. I'm not really sure where it came from, but he did. And so
I got free clubs.
Yeah, he got free clubs. I did not get free clubs, but I bought like $50 clubs. And then he came home with like $20 clubs that were superior to my $50 clubs. Craigslist and friends clearing out garages are your friends. But we went to the driving range And man, do I stink. So I'm going to need to practice a little bit
more.
She's
also not good at golf.
Okay, I see what you did there. Golf is hard. There's just, that's not even, well, I'm not saying that to make you feel better. I'm just saying, that's just a fact. Golf is hard.
No, it's hard. I can't get lift on the ball. It just like, is a line drive shanking to the right and I don't understand what's happening. And like towards the end of the bucket of balls that we got, I started getting a little bit of lift on it, but like I couldn't tell you what I did differently really. So like next time we go to the driving range, it's gonna be start from scratch. And
and it looks easy, but it's not. Again, I just want to, yeah, right? It looks really easy.
Like you're just like whacking the ball. It looks like it shouldn't be that hard.
It is.
Here we are.
That's a PSA for all you out there. Challenging.
And then I read two books. I put down the Outlander series because I finished the second Outlander book and I put them down for a little bit because I needed to get on my Kindle. And I can't remember if I talked about this last week, so stop me if I did. But I binged The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, which was very big on TikTok a while back. A friend recommended it to me a while back. The book is basically about a movie star back in like the Marilyn Monroe sort of era, and she had gotten married seven times, and she approaches this young reporter and offers her an exclusive of her life story, and it basically steps you through all of the different marriages that she had, her life in Hollywood. But there's also a mystery, like why did she approach this one young reporter specifically and why now, because she was a very private person and hadn't really been giving exposés or interviews in a long time. So I don't want to tell you more than that because I feel like it's something that you just should go in and read. But it was a very, very good book. And then I followed that up with another very good book, Before the Coffee Gets Cold, which is a little bit sci-fi, but it's about this coffee shop in Japan where you can go back in time if you sit in this one seat in the cafe. But when you go back in time, you can only talk to people who have visited the cafe. You have to envision kind of the time and date and everything that you want to go back. But when you go back in time, nothing that you do will change the present. And you only have as much time there until your coffee gets cold. And then you have to come back. And it's kind of structured in a way like you learn the characters. There's like a set of five or six characters within the cafe that you learn, but it's basically short stories about how all of them have interacted with the time traveling chair. And it's just really like nothing super like mind bending, but it's just a really heartfelt, well done book and very short read. I got through it in probably, I think, a day of reading outside. And it was very good. Very like literature forward reading. So I recommend that.
We recommend literature forward reading here at the Online Warriors Podcast.
Well, you know what I mean. Do, like, yeah. There are some books that are like classified as like a literature read. And there are other books where it's just like, this is a fun summer jaunt that I'm going to forget as soon as I put this down. So it's more towards the former than the latter.
Well, I know I'm not hosting the quiz because I lost last week. I think it's Nerdbomber. Nerdbomber, are you hosting the quiz this week?
I am. I finally won. I'm so excited.
Quick record update before we get into it. Tectic 6-4. Illegal and Nerdbomber tied at 5-8. Steven 3-0. So it's a dead heat right now. I don't think I'm out of my way in saying that. It's a dead heat. It's anyone's to win or
anyone's
lose.
Game.
So I don't know. We'll have Tactic bear that in mind as we compete.
So this week's trivia topic is all about Twilight. Very topical. I don't think having watched the movies or read the books will help you all that much with this trivia. I tried to keep it kind of like unbiased things that you wouldn't know if you just watched the movie, say. But most of them do focus around the first movie because I do know that's also the only one that you've ever seen Illegal. So I tried to keep it like as unbiased as possible.
How did you know that's the only one I've ever seen?
I think we had talked about it when we said that we were going to start watching Twilight at some point, like maybe last week when we had chatted. Because I think we brought it up and I believe you said that you'd only seen the first one and it was bad.
Well, it's true on both counts. I plan on winning.
All right. So as always, Price is Right style. Try to get as close as numerically possible without busting. And whoever has the most points wins. And you can only do the one or one. So you can either plus one or do the answer one. You can only pick one of those throughout the entire game. First things first. Many of you probably remember that iconic scene in the first Twilight movie where Bella drops an apple in the cafeteria and Edward kind of flicks it up with his foot and catches it. How many takes did it take to nail that iconic scene?
Tactic will go first because he's winning, correct?
Yes.
This was only four takes.
Way more. Do I want to use my plus one right away? I do not. 18 takes.
Oof. You were closer, but you busted. It took 13 takes, and they were almost about to give up, and then Robert Pattinson nailed it.
It's garbage. Screw you, Robert Pattinson. I had the right idea on that one. We'll get him next time.
I really thought it was going to be something like, it only took one because they did it in reverse and just dropped it on his foot.
Oh, trick question.
That honestly would have been smart, but no. All right. Kind of in that same vein, how many days did it take to film the first Twilight movie?
How many days did it take to film the first Twilight? See, it's very weather dependent, which is that's what I'm struggling with. I'm going to say 62 days.
It was more than that. I mean, the minimum for making a movie would be like 6 months. So I'm going to use my plus one right here, right now, and say plus one, whatever you just said.
Well, that was a waste of time because that you both busted.
What?
It only took 48 days to film the first Twilight movie.
The whole movie.
The whole movie.
I was right in there.
Why do actors and actresses make so much money?
I think this might have been like a special case. I don't know. It was, as I mentioned, it was a lower budget movie. I don't think they anticipated it doing as well as it did. So if you guys are like me, when you were really into Twilight and the soundtrack for this movie came out, you listened to it and you were like, wow, this thing is full of bangers. Because, you know, you had Linkin Park, you had some Robert Pattinson originals, and you had a Paramore specifically for Twilight exclusive song called Decode. How many seconds long was this banger of a bop?
Specifically Decode?
Well, the song was called Decode. It was specifically
how long was
for
that?
Twilight.
That song specifically?
Yes. Banger of a bop. How did we get here?
This was 2 minutes, 49 seconds.
I need it in seconds, man. I said, how many seconds long? I'm not doing that math. I could do that math. I just refuse to do that math.
This was 169 seconds.
Okay, it's more than that. I'm going to use my plus one strategically and say 170.
Very strategic of you. It was 261 seconds long.
Okay, I probably should have not used the plus one, but whatever. Two to go and we're tied up. This is what you get out of bed for, people. This is quiz-making titans right here.
All right, so another iconic scene from the first Twilight movie. There is the prom scene where Bella and Edward are dancing outside under the pergola and the very nice song playing in the background. There's Edison light bulbs giving you some nice context so you can really visualize this. What was the temperature when they filmed that scene in Fahrenheit?
Super cold. Super cold. 27 degrees.
That's a strong guess. This wouldn't be a question if it wasn't something below freezing. And that's what's troubling me because I can't be like so close to your answer. I'm going to say this. It was 5 degrees outside.
Strong
Illegal
guess.
Was closer, but Tectic took this one home.
But I busted
22
again.
Degrees was the temperature outside during that scene.
Yeah, this is crap. This is the second time. I'm so close.
You still a chance to tie it up. It's currently 2-1 with one more question to go. And I do have a tiebreaker in the hopper, so don't you worry.
These weak arms are heavy.
How many weeks, and now this is pivoting to the first book, how many weeks did Twilight spend on the New York Times bestseller list?
This was the same duration that it took to create the movie, which was...
like 7 weeks.
I'm going to say 15 weeks.
You said it seems too long, and then you doubled your answer. It's very confusing. It's more than that. It's 25 weeks. It's
all right,
like
you were
year.
Both super far off, but Illegal gets this. It spent 235 weeks super high. On the New York Times bestseller
that's
list.
That's years.
Yeah.
It's like 5 years, yeah.
I mean, Twilight was a social zeitgeist for a while.
I was envisioning like number social one. Zeitgeist. Number one or bust. I didn't think it, yeah.
So text in. This is our first
this
text
is our
in
first
a while.
Text in a while. All right, so now we're moving on to New Moon, the second movie. There
manage the left team.
There is a scene where Bella and Edward are in Italy. There's a festival and a bunch of people are wearing red robes.
Spoilers.
Sure, the movie's like over a decade old. If you, whatever. And it doesn't really give you context of anything. There's red robes.
I'm just being cheeky.
And a bunch of people in red robes. How many extras were used in that scene?
I do feel like I'm at a distinct disadvantage in this question. I don't even... One of us has seen the scene and one of us hasn't. I'm just going to go with the first number that hits me.
All right. And the person who has not seen the movie has won the game. His answer was 78.
That's right.
Tactic's answer was 37. And the correct answer was 700.
Do they not know both tricks of the camera? Holy budget, man.
We're both a little bit off. I feel like I just undermined the entire trivia industry by doing what I did, but I have no regrets. I moved to 6 and 8, Tactic to 6 and 5, Nerd Bomber.
Do you want to know the backup question, by the way? And I'll just give you the answer. You don't have to guess this.
Why is there another backup question?
Sometimes I just worry about it going into like double overtime.
In New Moon, he takes off his shirt to show that he sparkles. How many nipples does he have?
No, how many words does Dakota Fanning say in the final movie of the franchise? It's
like
one.
Three.
And the word is pain.
Yeah.
But that felt like too much of a trick question.
Pain.
I feel like I wouldn't get enough juice out of that, so.
It would have been pretty funny, though. Everyone go watch the Twilight movies. I think that's the takeaway here. And also, you don't need to see movies to know things about them. That's the other takeaway. Thank you all for joining us, listening to us. Again, hit us up on Twitter at the handles we already mentioned. Hit us up on Patreon. Feel free to support the show. And go on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review there. We'll be happy to hear from you there. And we'll see you next week. And in the meantime, stay safe and keep on podcasting.